Hey, this is John Lee Dumas from EO Fire, and you're listening to Elective Rotation with Pharmacy Joe. You must be prepared to ignite.
What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 55. In this episode, I'll discuss an article that found an increase in mortality when succinylcholine was used for rapid sequence intubation in patients with traumatic brain injury, answer the drug information question, do antibiotics need to be stopped prior to fecal microbiota transplantation to treat Clostridium difficile infection, and share a resource I use during in-hospital medical emergencies. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode55. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. The Pharmacy Nation Slack group is a free community with other pharmacists from around the world collaborating with each other using real-time messaging to help better care for patients. I invite you to join me and the many other Pharmacy Nation members there. You can sign up at pharmacynation.org. The article for today's episode is titled, Succinylcholine is associated with increased mortality when used for rapid sequence intubation of severely brain-injured patients in the emergency department. The lead author is Asad Patanwala, and this was published in the journal Pharmacotherapy, January 2016. The Sux versus Rock debate over whether to use succinylcholine or rocuronium in the setting of rapid sequence intubation has been going on for a long time. I gave my opinion on the matter back in episode 14, which you can listen to by going to pharmacyjoe.com/episode14. The purpose of this article was to compare mortality in patients with traumatic brain injury, or TBI, who received either succinylcholine or rocuronium for rapid sequence intubation. The study examined a retrospective cohort in an academic emergency department within the United States. The cohort consisted of adult patients with TBI who underwent rapid sequence intubation in the ED with rocuronium or succinylcholine between October 2010 and October 2014. The main outcome of interest was in-hospital mortality. Subjects were stratified based on severity of injury using head-abbreviated injury scores. The high-severity group had a severe or critical head injury, and the low-severity group had less than severe head injury. A total of 233 patients were studied. 149 received succinylcholine, and 84 received rocuronium. In patients who received rocuronium, mortality was 22% and 23% in the low severity and high severity categories, respectively. In patients who received succinylcholine, mortality was 14% and 44% in the low severity and high severity categories, respectively. In the multivariate analysis, after adjusting for important confounders, there was no significant association between succinylcholine and mortality in the low severity category. In patients in the high severity category, succinylcholine was associated with increased mortality compared with rocuronium, with an odds ratio of 4.1 and the 95% confidence interval from 1.18 to 14.12. The authors concluded that in severely brain-injured patients undergoing RSI in the emergency department, succinylcholine was associated with increased mortality compared with rocuronium. Succinylcholine may cause a transient increase in intracranial pressure, which could be detrimental to patients with traumatic brain injury. It is possible that the increased mortality in the high-severity succinylcholine group resulted from this increase in intracranial pressure. Rocuronium's longer duration of action compared with succinylcholine makes neurologic assessments after intubation difficult to perform. This may delay decisions in some patients to perform neurosurgical intervention, but did not appear to affect mortality in this study. The study authors did an excellent job explaining the limitations of their study. One interesting limitation was the difference between groups in the incidence of hypotension. And the authors wrote, patients in the succinylcholine group were more likely to have hypotension, suggesting higher severity of illness. However, this was not verified by other measures of severity, such as injury severity scores. Nonetheless, we acknowledge that this is an important imbalance between the groups. Hypotension has been shown to be an important predictor of mortality after TBI. Even a single episode of hypotension in these patients may double the risk of mortality. We adjusted for both of these variables in our multivariate and sensitivity analysis. As with any retrospective cohort study, a prospective trial is needed to confirm the findings. In the meantime, I think it's reasonable to use rocuronium over succinylcholine for RSI in severely injured head trauma patients if the excess duration of action of rocuronium will not affect significant patient care decisions. Now, the drug information I'm sharing in today's episode is to answer the question, do antibiotics need to be stopped prior to fecal microbiota transplantation to treat Clostridium difficile infection? And the answer is yes. Nearly all protocols involve stopping antibiotics prior to fecal microbiota transplantation. A 2012 review article, which I have linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode55, that was published in the journal Therapeutic Advances in Gastroenterology, examined published protocols for fecal microbiota transplantation and concluded the decision to eliminate antibiotics prior to FMT was almost universal. However, there were variances in the time frame prior to the procedure, most commonly 1 to 3 days. And the resource I'd like to share in this episode is simple and free, but it makes a big difference in responding to medical emergencies. And that's a stopwatch app for your smartphone or tablet. And I have in the show notes the link to the app I use on Android and another one on Apple. But if anyone out there is using a an Apple smartphone and has a stopwatch app that they like better than what I have linked there, please let me know and I can change the link to that. Now, there are two main emergencies when a stopwatch comes in handy. The first is during code blue calls. I'll set a timer after each dose of epinephrine. Time seems to stand still during a code, and if it weren't for the timer, I'd be asked for epinephrine about every 40 to 60 seconds in most codes. And the second is during endotracheal intubation. I'll set a timer after the induction agent is given so that I know how much time I've got before the induction agent wears off and further sedation is going to be needed. Listeners can support the show when they shop using my link to Amazon. It will cost you no extra money, and I will receive a small commission from Amazon. Just use my link, pharmacyjoe.com/shop, to take you to Amazon each time you shop. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.